God. So good to be with y'all. Praise God. I did want to make mention, if you have children that would normally be in children's church or nursery, we did put the refills out there for your packets that we have to help keep the little ones going during service. We know it's not the easiest of times and things like that for parents, but we also have the TVs downstairs with service going. And I also want to just thank everybody for being patient during this. You know, I knew from the beginning, I've had my own personal feelings on things and my own opinions, you know, but thank God the Holy Ghost corrected me early on, because it really helped us 2 weeks ago with everything, but to give me directions and instructions of how we should proceed, even when I don't necessarily agree or like everything. You know, I'm kind of, you know, maybe, I don't know how you are, but naturally, I get easily fed up with things, you know. But thanks for being patient. We're just going to keep obeying God and just till the Holy Ghost releases us, you know, and we'll just keep going the way we're going. But at least we get to be together and hear the word tonight, and we're going to be changed tonight. We're going to be different walking out of here. So I have something for you from heaven. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5 is where we're going to start. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we're just believing that some things can still happen. You know, Pastor Nancy Dufresne is supposed to be up at the Fredonia Family Church at the end of, or the beginning of September, the end of August. And also we have the Durants coming in October to our churches, South Dayton and Allegheny. So we're just believing to be able to still have those meetings. You know, we need to have these encounters with heaven. Praise God. God uses people on the earth. You know, that's who he uses. And so, but let's go ahead, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're just so thankful and so grateful to gather together. Father, if anything, this time should have taught us not to take these times for granted. And Father, we know, according to your word in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, this is your plan. And you said the closer it gets to when you would come back, that we should gather more and more. So Father, we thank you for the local church. We thank you for what happens in the local church, for the impartations, for the revelations, the direction, the encouragement, and even correction, if need be, that we receive from this place. And Father, we're here to hear from you. Father, I know you use people, but Lord, I'm just the delivery person. I'm not the one that has the source of the material or the blessings. I just deliver those. So Father, speak through me tonight. My words not be my own, but of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you that bullseyes will be hit. And Father, we'll say things tonight that will be specific to each person's situation, circumstance, and season of life that they're in. And Father, we always go to a higher level with you. That's what the word can do for us. So we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before, there is a specific direction that I'm going tonight with this message. But as I was on my way here just worshiping, you know, I left early tonight. And so I just set my cruise at 65, which that is a snail's pace for Pastor Mike Anderson. I tell you, I had trouble just keeping it there, but I just got no reason to get here so early. So I was just able to worship God more and things and just enjoy him. But it came up my heart to make sure to say that this will work for anything. Or you could say it this way: when I'm going to preach tonight, it applies to anything. So if the area which what I'm going to be specifically targeting tonight is healing, is not something you need, well, you may someday, praise God, but even if it's a financial thing, something with your children, something in your mind, emotions, your business, whatever it is, these principles apply to anything. So don't say, well, I'm perfectly healthy and whole, this isn't for me. No, you might need it for healing someday, but it'll work for anything that we encounter. But in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion that was beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Remember we said we can see who God is by looking at Jesus? Remember we saw that the Bible says that Jesus said, I can only do what my Father wants me to do, or what his will is. Notice how quick Jesus was like, you're sick? I will. Why? Because that's who the Father is. He wants to. Amen? But he says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. So what's he saying? He's in a place of authority. He says, I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, not even in Israel. And then it dropped down to verse 13. Jesus said a couple other things that we don't need to see for tonight, but he said in verse 11, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so it be done unto you. And his servant was healed in that self same hour. So we see someone that was facing a trial, facing a problem in their life. In this specific situation, it was a physical problem in his servant's body. But we see it ended well, didn't it? It ended with the gentleman receiving his healing and getting his blessing. And when we look at this, it really came from two things. And those two things are kind of what we're going to be looking at tonight concerning healing, but also, again, it applies to anything that God has promised or any attack that the enemy would come against you to try to take from you or cause you to be kept out of what God has promised. Really, the two things that this gentleman had that caused this blessing to flow is he had knowledge of boundaries and authority. He had knowledge of boundaries and authority. He had knowledge of what the boundaries were, and when they were crossed, that it was wrong, but also that something could be done about those boundaries being crossed. What do I mean? Well, in this situation, he came to Jesus looking for his servant to be healed. A lot of people don't even go to God for healing because they don't believe it's even his will. In fact, there's a lot of people, when I say this, it's not me, I guess I should say it this way, I don't lie from the pulpit. Is that comforting to you? I mean, are you glad to know I'm not lying from up here? So when I say these things, some of them sound ridiculous, but they're true. I've watched sermons and services from churches, I'll never say the church or the minister, it's not my heart to throw anybody under the bus or to make anyone look bad, but I've watched services from ministers in Cattaraugus County, their live stream feeds that have told their congregation, God is the author of your sickness, that God is the one making you sick. Well, if God is okay with you being sick or is making you sick, you certainly aren't going to be confident to go to him for your healing. Amen? But this gentleman, thankfully, didn't have wrong thinking, did he? He knew sickness is not okay. I'm going to the one that could make it right. What was he saying? Sickness crosses the boundaries. Amen? But then it wasn't just the fact of the knowledge that sickness was not okay and that Jesus would not be okay with it. He knew something needed to be done. And what did Jesus say at the end? He said, this man had great faith. But what did his faith come out of? He said, Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. He says, he's basically saying, I know sickness is wrong. I know sickness is out of order. I know you have the authority to deal with sickness. You don't have to come to my house. You can just speak the word, right? And he likened it to how he is a man having people under him. He said, if I want my servant to go do something, I don't have to pick them up or drag them by the arm to take. So I just speak the word and they go. If I want them to come over to me, I don't need to go chase them down. I just say, come, and they come. He said, Jesus, you don't need to go to my house. You have authority over this boundary crossing thing. Just use your authority over it, Jesus, and it'll go. And it did, and Jesus called that faith. A lot of people in the body of Christ have an ignorance towards sickness and disease. It's true. An ignorance towards that it's a boundary crossing and that it takes their authority or them doing something to deal with it. And a lot of people, how do you know? Because I get to be around a lot of Christians, never walk into their healing because they have wrong thinking of the boundaries and they have wrong thinking of the authority part of it. And they sit back and they just wait for something to happen and it's their responsibility to do something about it. You know, you remember when I told you, when I was 24, 25, I'd have to go back and look at the calendar and do some math to know, but it was 24, 25, and I was just freshly saved. You know, I think I got saved at 23, and so, and you know how I came out of very, not much integrity, not much character. I was always kind and compassionate to people, but just kind of a swindler, you know, and just, you know, just not very moral. And certainly when it came to keeping jobs, I had 26 jobs in 2 years before I got born again. Quit every single one of them. A lot of times I'd have Courtney call and tell him my grandma died. I'm just telling you the truth. Grandma died several times before I was saved to get me, because I thought, you know, that will make them not be as angry with me. You know, that's just how I was back then. And so I wasn't what you call Mr. Integrity by any means. And I got born again in my early 20s, and not too long after that, God blessed me with that job supernaturally that I wasn't even qualified for. Remember, it was the after-school coordinator position at one of the elementary schools in Jamestown, being in charge of 100 kindergartners through fourth graders, 15 to 20 staff members at any time, and having control really of the building at the end of the school. I was responsible for the building and how things ran and things like that. And that was pretty much, I got born again, got a little bit of word in me, and now God put me in that position. I'd never been in a position of authority. I'd never been in a position like that. I've quit all my jobs, you know. I was in over my head. And remember, I told you how when I had replaced in the middle of the school year in January, it was after Christmas vacation, the current after-school coordinator had gotten fired. Well, the problem was she had hired all her friends. So the staff members that I was taking over were all loyal to her and thought I was the bad guy, you know, and so they gave me a heck of a time. The kids gave me a run for my money. The parents gave me a run for my money. And I had such ignorance going into that because, for one, I never had any management experience. God totally got me this job. There's no other reason God got me this job. I wasn't even qualified for it. All I had was an associate's degree, and the paper said bachelor's, master's preferred. And I didn't know anything. I was so far in over my head with this. But I remember being out with Pastor Michael Laketic at Applebee's in Fredonia and telling him that I got the job, and he dropped his fork on the table and spoke to me and said, because I didn't know any. I mean, again, I'm green in management, and I'm green in the Lord, you know? And he said, it's strategic for you, for down the road. Well, I didn't know what he was talking about, being in charge of things, you know, at that point in my life. I just was excited. I got some vacation days. That's what I was pumped about, you know. Wow, a job with vacation. I thought that was a real thing, you know. And so anyways, I was over my head and didn't know anything about management. And it seems ridiculous now, knowing things. But I was taken advantage of. I was taken advantage of by the students, by the parents, by the staff members that were there, because I had ignorance of what were the boundaries. And I also had much ignorance of how to deal with the boundary crossings. And because I didn't have knowledge and I was ignorant, I was in for a rough time, and things did not change for me in that job. And I'll maybe share, most of you heard the story towards the end here, but until I learned the boundaries and then did something about when the boundaries were crossed. But you see, many Christians don't even know that when they're sick, that's a boundary crossing. I'm telling you, the way most Christians think, now maybe not in our circles, because my goodness, the quality of teaching we get with Brother Hagin and Pastor Nancy and Pastor Webb and the Durants and Reverend Greer, and then what, you know, people that I've been able to sit under and bring word to you, we know that sickness is not okay. Most of us do. Maybe it's not, maybe some of us are newer, we haven't had that in us, but most Christians just think that's part of life. You just get sick, and that's just the way it goes. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, they don't have an idea of boundary crossings. Now, remember, this will work for your finances, too. Poverty is a boundary crossing. Depression, fear, worry. I know worry seems normal. Worry's a trespasser. It's a boundary crossing. Anxiety is a boundary crossing. And so many of these things, people just chalk up to, that's life. Because a lot of times people see wonderful Christians who love the Lord who are suffering. And they look at them, and that's where they get their revelation from. well, so-and-so's got this, so-and-so's facing this, it must be God's will. No, God's will is His Word, not experiences, not circumstances. Amen? And so many people are ignorant concerning these things. And until you become absolutely, and again, it applies to anything, absolutely sold out on the fact that sickness is not okay, and the fact that you have to do something to get that sickness off of you, it won't go anywhere. You will be completely dependent upon medicine, upon therapy, upon doctor's visits, and I'm not against those things, but I'll take divine healing over medicine any day. I'll take divine healing over surgery any day. I'll take divine healing over having to go to years and years of therapy any day of the week. And that's God's highest and best. That's what He offers us. Praise God. You know, we talk about, and I'm going to show you these things, the two things, sickness trespassing, and that it's boundary crossing, but also we have to deal with it in the time that we have here tonight. But remember my story about my dad growing up, and we had 100 acres on the Conowongo Creek in Frewsburg, New York. And it was a playground for me, a lot of swamp, you know, a lot of big deer and just great places to hunt, fields. It was a really fun place for me growing up. But I kind of grew up with an outlaw for a dad. Say, what do you mean, an outlaw? I mean, I don't think I ever saw him tag a deer in his life. Before they passed the rifle law and you could only use shotguns, my dad, all I saw him hunt was with a 30-30 rifle. He had guns in my hand. I remember the first time I ever shot at a deer, I couldn't even hold it. It was a 16-gauge Ithaca slug gun. I couldn't even hold the thing up. I'm not kidding you. I was way too young, but he threw me out in a field with my Uncle Doug. Not really my uncle, just some guy come around named Doug. I called him Uncle Doug. Had me out there, said, okay, I'm going to go through the thick stuff here. The deer are going to come out, be ready to shoot. Well, they came out, and I just remember just getting enough strength to get up. I don't know where the barrel was pointing. Bam! Bam! And they're hopping across the fields, and I'm just slinging slugs. Never hit one of them, you know. I remember one time, this is again, I'm lucky to even be alive, you know, with some of these things. I remember one time I took a .22 out of, and again, no one taught me gun safety, nothing. He just threw, take the gun, go. You know, I know it seems ridiculous, but I'm alive and well now. And we forgive Paul Anderson, don't we, for his training. I think about my kids now. I think, my goodness, how safe I am with them, you know. I took a .22 out of the gun safe, went outside, and just for fun pulled the trigger and shot a bullet right through the barn at our house. The thing was left loaded. I didn't even check, know how to check or nothing. Just started pulling the trigger. I thought, my goodness, could have killed somebody. The safe was always unlocked, you know, so why am I telling you that story? Because you have to get a picture of Paul. And I went upstairs one day while I went out back hunting, long before I was legal to be out there myself with a gun, on our own property, you know. And what happened on our property along the Conowongo is we had a lot of people that would trespass because you could put your boat in at a different launch area on a canoe and they'd come in through the river and hunt. And we had that thing posted so good, you know, there was no excuses that you didn't know it was trespassing and that. And I always think it's funny, too, that people even go on land that's not posted. Like, it's still not yours, you know, just because there's no posted sign, you still don't own it. But anyways, we had it posted, so there was no excuse. And I walked back, and all of a sudden I looked out, and I thought, oh, my goodness, there's the Orange Army. That's what I thought. You know, in shotgun season, rifle season, they had orange, and there was, I don't remember how many people, at least 5 to 6 people in our fields putting on deer drives. That was at least, you know, I thought, oh, boy. I had been raised to nobody come on our land. Well, these were all bigger than me, people bigger than me, and so I ran down the Gaswell Road, ran upstairs. Dad, the Orange Army's there. There are people in our field. He hopped out of bed in his tidy whities. The safe flew open. The safe, more like a cabinet, flew open. He started grabbing guns out, putting guns around his waist. I already had a gun downstairs. He put one on my ass. I already got my 20-gauge downstairs. He said, that's okay, take this one too. And he had guns, I had guns, and we went down. Well, thankfully it didn't end in, what's that place called? The shootout at the OK Corral. That's what I thought it was. Frewsburg, New York almost became the OK Corral, but it didn't, thankfully. But my point is this. I wish that is the way that Christians would deal with sickness. I wish that is the way that Christians would deal when poverty comes against them, when depression tries to get on you, when fear tries to overtake you, when worry tries to come on you. I wish we'd hop out of bed fully clothed, not just to tidy whities, and go after the devil and go after these things that are against us. But so many people, it's just life. Just sit back. Now, that's not how Dad was. And you know what? Those people would have continued to hunt our property had he knew the boundaries, and he knew, I'm the one that's going to deal with them. And he did, and they went away. Praise God. Same thing. I was telling somebody, had messaged me this week, they had gone through some physical things, and I had messaged them how proud I was of them. That they didn't just lay back, and they had gone through something pretty serious this week, but man, they came right out of the gate just like Dad. I mean, they just hopped right out of bed and said, let's do this, you know, and it turned for them, you know. But anyways, I said, I'm so proud of you, because so many times something comes, knocks on our door, and hell's there, and we cower, we fear, we get discouraged, or we quit, or we moan and groan. That is not the right response. You know, Dad could have said, oh, trespassers, what am I going to do? Right? Oh, I don't know. No, he just went after him and got rid of him. And it was great. So I want to look at this, number one, that sickness is trespassing. Go to Acts 10, 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Praise God. And of course, you know my story about when I shot my first deer ever. That I had the gun fully loaded, and I shot one, and I got the first. This is how I've been raised. No one taught me any of this. And they came up to me and said, how many shots did it take you to get that deer? I said, I killed that deer in one shot. They said, why did we hear? It was either five or six. I can't remember how many the gun held in the chamber. They said, we heard five or six shots. I said, yeah, well, there was other deer. There was a pile of other deer that came up over the hill during the drive. I just thought I have gun bullets in my gun, deer out there. The smart thing for me to do is shoot them all. Thankfully, I missed every single one of them after that. But that's how I grew up. My goodness. You're probably thinking, maybe we should have somebody else teach Caleb and Abby what to do. You're not the right guy for the job here. But no, I've already learned all the wrong ways, so I got to teach them all the right ways. But Acts 10:38, look what the Bible says here, how God anointed. That means this was God's idea. This was God's plan. Now again, even if you're sitting here, and you're thinking to yourself, I already know sickness is not of God. Listen, when you get sick, not saying you're going to or I want you to, but when sickness comes against you, I'll tell you, there is not anything that I've found besides something going against your children that messes with a Christian's mind more than when sickness is on their body, because it messes with your sleep, it messes with your mind, it messes. All these thoughts come, because especially when you love the Lord, you believe in healing, you pay your tithes, you go to church, you're faithful to cross your T's, dot your I's, and sickness comes, the thoughts that come against you, what am I doing wrong, what did I do? All these things, you have to be so sold out that it is an enemy attacking you, that you don't hem and haw about this stuff, that you come out of the gate firing, because the Bible says that God anointed Jesus. God did this. To anoint is like the word from the Old Testament, the anointing of oil. Now, this is not how God anointed Jesus, but it's that same mentality of anointing with oil, and it drips on them. You poured the oil on and it anointed them. And it's the same thing. God did this to Jesus. Did what? He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with something. The Holy Ghost and power. Praise God. So God did this. Why? Because he wanted to. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who what? Took that Holy Ghost and power, that anointing, went about doing good. What was the doing good that he did? It tells us. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. for God was with him. How in the world do people ever get confused with God, what he does and what the devil does? Especially when it comes to the area of sickness and disease. How can preachers stand up in their pulpits and feed into the minds of the people and plant seeds that God is okay with you being sick? God is so not okay with it that he anointed Jesus with a special superpower called the Holy Ghost and power to go around with this power, Jesus, and heal them that the devil has oppressed through sickness. Sickness and disease is not godly. Now, there must be a reason for me to say these things if the utterance and the unction is there. But I'm thinking back to a really famous Christian that many of you would know their name, would know this person's name. Again, won't say their name. I've heard them on a Christian radio station talk about the sickness in their body, that God did that to them. And it's a pretty severe sickness, pretty severe disability that they have. It has completely altered their life from when they were a child. God did this for a purpose, for a reason. And they've mixed up in their mind what God does and what the devil does. And so you know what that person has done now? Because they saw that little thought come swimming by, that little lure in the water, and like the big old bait, largemouth bass, they gobbled that thing up. They don't believe God for their healing. How could you believe God for your healing if he's the one who wanted you to have it? You see how dangerous it is? If you don't know boundaries and where you're supposed to be or where you can be, I got this new app. It's called Onyx Hunt. And what it does is you could download it and you pay a certain subscription, and it's been wonderful, a game changer for me, especially when I go to properties that I'm not too familiar with. And it has the boundaries right on there and has a little blue dot for where I am by satellites, where I'm at, so I know I can stay on the property lines. So I had one time a person try to tell me, you're not in the right spot. You are in the wrong property. And thankfully, I had my permission with me, and I had my, the Bible's your permission slip, by the way. So I had someone, I'd never seen the person. I have permission to hunt on a property in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania. Me, Reverend Randy, and another gentleman who has the permission. I never met the guy, and I was on there one day, and, oh, you don't have permission to be there. You're in the wrong spot. And I said, no, I'm not. I pulled out my phone, showed right on the phone, this is the boundaries. Well, he knew that was the property. I said, and here's my permission slip. And because of those things, knowing the boundaries, knowing my permission, I was fully confident when I was being accused of being in the wrong place. And the devil will accuse you of thoughts of why you should be sick, of why you can't be healed, why you have to stay poor, why this, why that. No. You got to know that you know, people. What does the devil prey on? Ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowing. Wow. Go to Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Sickness is a trespasser. The Bible gives you permission to be in the property boundaries of healing, glory to God. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 in verse 4. This is talking about Jesus. It says, surely Jesus, or he, bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, in my Bible, in the margin here, griefs and sorrows is translated sickness and pains. Now, I've preached on this before, and you can go back to some of the healing messages to get more in detailed on this. But we know this, that the Old Testament was not written in English, and neither was the New Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek. Well, those words, griefs and sorrows, if you go to the original Hebrew text of the words for griefs and sorrows, they are not translated griefs and sorrows, the Hebrew word. In fact, the other places in the Old Testament when the words, those Hebrew words were used, the English did not translate them griefs and sorrows. They translated them sickness and pains. Because if you go back to the original Hebrew context, That's what it was. So when the translators translated it, for some reason, that word that they used for griefs and for sickness, or for those Hebrew words that they saw and translated them sickness and pains in other places, for this context, I don't know if it blew their mind or what it was, but they didn't translate it correctly. And we know that too, because Matthew, and remember we just looked at Matthew chapter 8, but if you go down further in that chapter, Matthew references this verse in the Bible. And he says, Jesus himself took our infirmities and our sickness, talking about our sickness. So when he translated what the Hebrew was, he knew that's not griefs and sorrows, that's sickness and pain. So remember that. The Bible says that Jesus carried or bore or took them, our sickness and our pains. That means the sickness and the pains that we can encounter, arthritis. That just came up out of my heart to say arthritis. I don't know. Some of us be dealing with that. Who's dealing with arthritis? That's struggling with arthritis in here. Gloria, it's Jesus took it. Cancer, Elaine, Jesus took it. Praise God. He took our sickness. He took our disease. You could say any type of depression. It's just a mental sickness, right? Anything at all that has to do with any sickness, any disease. The Bible said Jesus bore it. He took it. What's that mean? He doesn't want you taking it. Hallelujah. He doesn't want you taking it. He already took it. It says he was wounded for our transgressions, verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. What's he saying? Because I took it, and because my stripes are my body, I'm offering you healing to be your way of life. Amen. Do you know how many Christians don't know that? Do you know how many people in the body of Christ just sit back and just think, I don't know, this must be what God's will. And here he's telling you what his will is. I put it on my son so you wouldn't have to experience it. Now your first question might be, well, then why am I? Well, he gave Jesus to die for the whole world that so no one would have to go to hell. But people are still going to hell. Why? They don't know how to cooperate with what the word says. We know how to get saved. Believe and receive. That's that simple. Hallelujah. Remember this now, Luke chapter 10. Go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. I just want you to see something real quick. This will help you to understand that sickness didn't enter into the world until sin entered the world. God's plan for mankind was to live forever. And we see that the age spans of the Bible, from early on when there was no sin to when it got down to what? Promised you 100, the most you could have was, he said, I'll promise you 120. Most people don't even get that. It's not his fault, by the way, that they don't. Just so you know, there's things in the world, there's things going, you know, things you put in your body, the way you treat your body, things of life, pollute, I mean, all sorts of things that hinder that from happening, lack of faith, whatever. But we see lifespans going from hundreds of years down, down, down. Why? The more sin entered in, the more death entered in. What am I saying? Remember, the Bible says that Jesus was anointed to destroy a work of the devil, which was what? Healing those oppressed by the enemy. This will help you to understand that the root of sickness is from Satan. Okay? How does that help you? Because this next verse in Luke 10:17 says, the 70 again returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us to your name. And he said, I beheld Satan fall from lightning from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power, that's the word authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Well, what's one of the powers of the enemy? Jesus told us, or the Bible told us in Acts 10:38, he can make sick people sick. He can oppress people through sickness. And the Bible says that we have authority over anything the devil throws at us. So you have to use your authority. Praise God. Which leads me to point number two, because we looked at number one about the boundaries. Sickness crosses the line. It's a trespasser. How many of you would just allow somebody to go walking down the street, come up to your house, knock on the door, you open the door, and they just walk right in. And they just go to your fridge, right? And they sit down, and they start messing with all your stuff. None of us would do that. We'd probably take aggressive action to stop it. Amen? I'll tell you, don't come sneaking into my house. I'm a gun owner. Don't do it. Stay away. Right? Or you'd call the police. Or you'd start yelling or be physical. Whatever. You wouldn't just say, oh yeah, come in and do whatever you want in my home. Why do we do that when sickness comes? It's of the devil. Break it into your house. Glory to God. Number two, we talked about the boundaries, but also knowing the boundaries. But then what do you do when the boundaries are crossed? Well, Dad knew the boundaries were crossed. What did he do? He dealt with it. You have to use your authority. Remember what the centurion told him? He said, your authority, just speak the word, Jesus. What's he saying? You got to do something about this, Jesus. Jesus knew, I got to do something about this. And he did. Just because boundaries are crossed doesn't mean the problem gets fixed. Dad had to jump up out of bed and go fix the problem. Just because healing is available to you, or prosperity, or peace, or joy is what God wants for you, doesn't mean you'll live there. Because opposition comes to take that from you, and you got to deal with it, praise God. You got to deal with it. Isn't it amazing that when Jesus was on the boat in Mark chapter 4, God's will for Jesus was not to die in the middle of the lake. He had come with a purpose and a plan. But notice, God's will was something. There was a boundary that crossed the line. That storm crossed the boundary. But the storm didn't go away until Jesus stood up and spoke to that thing and told it, peace be still, right? He still had to use his authority. What about when Jesus went across the water and met the Gadarene demoniac there who was bound in chains, often cut himself, no one could bind him, no man could hold him. Jesus, God's will wasn't for that man to be that way, and Jesus was on the scene, but Jesus had to what? Cast the devil out of him. Had to use the authority. The devil crossed the boundaries. Jesus wanted to fix it. But Jesus had to use his authority. Hallelujah. Go to Mark 5, verse 25. I want to talk to you about using your authority real quick in the few minutes we have left. Mark 5, 25. Again, this will work for anything. If you're not convinced that being poor has crossed the boundaries, well, I can't pay my bills, that's trespassing. Well, I'm always struggling, that's trespassing. I'm constantly afraid, trespassing. I'm always worried and stressed out, trespassing. I am super depressed, trespassing. You got to deal with these things. It would be nice if things would just happen automatically. But that's why we've been taught faith. That's why we're being trained up, because they don't happen automatically. Mark chapter 5. It'd be nice at boot camp if the drill instructor said, don't worry about it. Just go out in the, when you go out to war, the enemy man will just fall at your feet. They'll just drop dead or just lay their weapons down. No. He says, no, this is what you got to do, because when you go out there, you got to fight back. You got to shoot. Amen. You got to do the right thing. Mark 5:25, so we're talking about dealing with it. Said a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. Do you think God was okay with that? No. Why did it? Was God okay with it the first year? Nope. Was God okay with it the second year? No. But here it went. First, second, third, all the way to 12 years. Suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she, everybody say she, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Who was the one that got the ball rolling? She was. Now look at this, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'll be whole. Straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. She touched his clothes, obviously. Felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging, and you're saying, who's touching me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in him, came and fell down before him, told him all the truth, and he said, daughter, your faith, made you whole. Go in peace to behold thy plague. We know that it wasn't. Obviously, Jesus is a part of it, yes. But you got to learn how to flip the switch. Many people were touching him, needing things, and weren't getting anything. This woman flipped the right switch. And Jesus said, what at the end? Daughter, your faith did this. Well, guess what? Your faith can do. Your faith can make you whole as well. Your faith can make you provided for as well. Your faith can make you free as well. Hallelujah. You know why your faith can do that? Because, and this will help you, why you need faith. Because the only thing that God's power flows through is faith. That's why your faith can do anything, because the power that flows on your faith can handle and do anything. But it takes your faith. You know, in that after-school program, and I was being just used and abused by everybody, poor me. And remember what happened? I called my boss, Tracy Cahey. Loved her so much. She was so good to me and helped me so much. But she was blunt with me. I'm glad when people are just black and white with me at times. Just tell me how it is. If I'm screwing up, just tell me what I'm doing wrong. And I was whining and crying, telling her all the extra hours I'm working. I never should have taken this job. I thought it was going to change my life. You know, just giving her this. Will you come down, Tracy? Because everybody respected Tracy. Will you come down, Tracy, and tell these staff members to listen to me? Will you come down and tell these kids to get in line? Will you come down and tell these parents, stop being mean to me and taking advantage of me? I'm telling you, that's the conversation I had. And she said, I'm not doing it. She said, I hired you to be the coordinator. She said, you're the one in charge. What they're doing to you is out of line. If you want it fixed, you deal with it. What do you mean? Well, what they're doing is out of line. She told me what the boundaries were with the kids, with the parents, and with the staff members. And then she told me, it's my authority. If the kids don't fall in line, kick them out. If the parents don't fall in line, kick the kid out. If the staff members don't fall in line, fire them. The light bulb went off. I knew the boundaries, but also knew I have the authority, and this is what I have to do to change it. And guess what? I did change it. Amen. Turned that whole program around, that one phone call. But the point was, I had to deal with it. This woman with the issue of blood, God's power was always available for 12 years for her. God's power didn't all of a sudden start working that day. God's healing power, and you say, well, yeah, but she never encountered Jesus. Neither did the centurion's servant. Jesus never went to his house. You don't need to be in Jesus' presence to receive his healing. The power of God is everywhere. Remember what the Lord told Brother Hagin? There's enough power in every sick room in every hospital to raise every single sick person up out of every single sick bed on planet Earth. There's enough power of God. Well, it's just like this. You walk into this room and the lights are off and you're from the year 1200 and it's at nighttime, it's dark. You think, well, there's no electricity. Someone had taught you about electricity, but you walk in here and they didn't tell you how to turn the light on. You walk in here and the lights aren't on. Until you learn to turn the switch on, the power's still here. You know, when we turn the lights off, the electricity doesn't go away. The electricity's still flowing, but you cooperate by turning the light on. For 12 years, the power was there, but she didn't know how to turn the switch on. Amen. Until she did the right thing. But what did she do? I want to tell you now, because if her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. It's simple. Go to Mark 11:23. Say, we've talked about this stuff. I know, but keep doing it. Mark 11:23, hallelujah. For verily I say unto you, what does that mean? Of a truth, Jesus is saying. And then I'm going to follow up with a Brother Hagin story that doesn't relate to this in the sense of what his story was, but it will open our eyes to some things, and then we'll close. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to the mountain. Well, did she have a mountain in her life? She did. But what did the Bible say? In the Amplified, it brings it out even more. For she kept saying, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. What was she doing? Releasing her faith. exactly what this verse tells us to do. Who will say to the mountain. So if you're not saying to your mountain, don't expect your mountain to move. Because Jesus said you must speak to the mountain, not about the mountain, not meditate on the mountain, not think about the mountain, not wish the mountain gone. Speak to the mountain. Be removed, cast into the sea. Now here's the second thing. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. So there's two things that need to happen in that verse. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Remember he said, the words that you speak, you have to believe them. That means the believing comes first, and the words that come out of your mouth already have to be laced with belief. Well, what did she do? Her actions showed us she believed, and her speaking was in line with that, wasn't it? She believed, got out of bed, went through the press, and was saying, I just got to touch him, I just got to touch him. What was she doing? Believing and speaking, believing and speaking. What did he say to do in Mark 11, 23 for your mountain to go? Believe and speak, believe and speak, believe and speak, believe and speak. How long do I have to believe and speak? Till your mountain moves. Till your mountain moves, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. But it hasn't worked for me. But Jesus said it would. But I've tried it. But Jesus said it would. Don't argue with Jesus. I had someone one time sit across from me in South Dayton and tell me, the word doesn't work. The word doesn't work. The word doesn't work. Now if we keep working the word will work. Jesus said, if we would believe it, what does that mean? When sickness has crossed the line, when poverty and depression and fear and anxiety have crossed the line, what do you have to do? Number one, believe. What's believing? Finding out the boundaries. Oh, healing is of God. Meditate on that. Get that in your heart. And then what? I call that sickness gone. I call healing into my body. I speak healing into my body. Whatever your situation is. This is basic stuff, isn't it? It'll change your life. Believe, receive. What's faith? Remember in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, Paul said, we have then the same spirit of faith. Same vital sign of faith. We have believed, therefore we have spoken. We believed and we speak. We believe and we speak. We believe, because the believing is the faith part. The speaking is the releasing or the launching forth of that faith to go into the atmosphere. We believe, we speak. We believe, we speak. Praise God. But how many times do people get oppressed? They get quiet. They get within themselves. They get sad, they get discouraged, and they stop doing this. Now, remember Jesus said, if you'll do this, he said, verily. Remember the story of Brother Hagin? That Jesus appeared to him and told him, this was early on, this waned as he went on in his ministry, but early on Jesus told him that when he stands before somebody, if an evil spirit jumps from one hand, or if the fire in his hand, when he's getting ready to minister to people, jump from one hand to the other. If he feels that fire, jump from one hand to the other, that there's an evil spirit that's present. Now, why would you need to know that? Because you'd have to deal with the evil spirit. Because not all sickness is demonic possession. Or it's the root of it is from the devil. Don't misunderstand me. But there's other times that the devil is on somebody. And that's, you know, just absolutely hindering. There's many different reasons to sickness and disease we see in the world. We've talked about causes before, but in this situation, he said there's an evil spirit present, and you have to deal with the evil spirit first. Well, years later, Brother Hagin ministered to somebody that had tuberculosis of the spine, and if you remember right, I told the story before, he stood before the person, and he felt the fire jump from his hand to hand, that burning. So Brother Hagin knew there's an evil spirit present here. So Brother Hagin commanded the evil spirit to leave the gentleman, and then Brother Hagin told the guy, now see if you can bend over and touch your toes. Well, the guy couldn't do it and went back to his seat. Well, Brother Hagin was confused by that, and he didn't know why it didn't work. He said, Lord, you told me if the fire jumps that there's an evil spirit present, and I cast that devil out. Told the guy, see if you could bend over, touch your toes. He couldn't do it. He went back to his seat. He said, I don't understand. He said, you told me that. And he went through with Jesus two or three times. And the Lord each time told him, I said in my name, the demons would have to go. Brother Hagin would reiterate the story with him again. I know you told me that, Lord, and you told me about the fire, but I told the guy. And he's basically arguing with Jesus, saying, but it hasn't worked. Just like the person sitting across from my office that day. The word doesn't work. The word doesn't work, even though God said it would. If you've all of a sudden, you've taken some real bad bait from the devil when you get to the point where you don't think the word will work for you. Oh, he's got you. Because your faith goes out the window then, because the word is our confidence. So Brother Hagin's telling Jesus, he's getting kind of flustered out. I told him to do that and it didn't work. Well, this is the third or fourth time. He said, Jesus got a stern look on his face and put his finger right up under his nose in the vision and said, but I told you it would work. Brother Hagin got the light bulb because he was telling the guy, see if you can do it. Like, let's test it out. When Jesus told him, when I told you that's going to happen, it's going to happen. Well, when Brother Hagin just said, see if you could do it, it was doubt and unbelief coming out, and that squashed the whole thing because God can only move through faith. So next time, the gentleman was there. Brother Hagin sensed fire drop jumping, cast that devil out. He said, now, bend over and touch your toes. Why? He knew the evil spirit was keeping him from doing it. He knew that Jesus said it. He cast out. Don't check to see if it worked. Bend over and touch your toes. The guy bent over and touched his toes and was healed. What's my point of that saying that to you? Jesus in Mark 11, 23, he told you, he said this, that if you'll believe and speak, your mountain will go. Don't wonder if it's not going to go. No. It will go. I mean, if he was here right now and told you this, would it have more weight to you? My goodness. It's red letters. He's speaking it through me. It's just as good as him saying it. I'm an ambassador for Jesus. I speak on his behalf to you. And I'm telling you, if you'll believe and speak to your mountain, it will go. Just keep doing it. Keep pressing. Keep doing it. And in the meantime, stay in fellowship with Jesus. And if there's a cause, something that you're doing, if your love walk's messed up, or there's a diet change or anything, he's loving enough to reveal to you, make this adjustment. But he said, if you'll believe and speak, it'll go. Just picture Jesus with his hands right up under your nose. I mean, almost digging right in. I told you it would work. Thank you, Jesus. If he said it, we better start believing and speaking and using our authority. Notice the mountains don't go by praying them away. The mountains don't go by having someone else pray them away, by wishing they would go away, by hoping they would go away. We have to do something to get rid of the mountains that are what? Trespassers. Amen? Well, were you blessed tonight? Just tell me that you were to make me feel better regardless. I preached myself happy anyways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. We're just so grateful for the opportunity to hear and to be strengthened, to be built up. And Father, we've seen these principles, but Lord, until we are complete doers of them and just acting like my dad did when sickness comes against us and disease comes against us and poverty comes against us and fear, we don't just sit back. No. We act like the woman with the issue of blood. We press through whatever, doing the right thing, believing and speaking until that mountain is moved. So, Father, forgive us for quitting. Forgive us for backing off. Forgive us for being casual or apathetic, Lord. It doesn't matter how bad you want it for us. You can't want it more than we want it. We have to want it. I can't want it for people more than people want it. We have a part to play. Help us to realize this, Father, as we go forth tonight. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. My goodness. We talk about the promises, and we talk about healing and prosperity and freedom in your mind and in your emotions. The greatest promise that God ever offered us was salvation through his son Jesus. Praise God. Jesus is the bridge back to the Father. God doesn't want anybody to perish or go to hell. Hell was not made for people. God doesn't want any of his creation to go to hell. That's why he gave us Jesus, to overtake the works of the devil. If you're here tonight, if you're watching online right now, and you could say, you know what? I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know where I'd go after I die. My goodness, I'm here to tell you, Don't go to bed with uncertainty after tonight. Don't go to bed wondering where I'd go or go through another day of not being sure. He's made it simple and free. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to go to church to receive Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16, if you believe on Jesus, you'll be saved. Romans 10:13 says, if you call on his name, there it is, believing and receiving. And Romans 10:9 tells us about the believing and speaking. It says, if you'll confess, that's the speaking, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, that's the believing, that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's two ways to use your faith, believe and receive. If you in your heart know Jesus is real, I believe him. You don't have to understand everything, but you say, I believe in Jesus. But you've never called on his name. You've never received him. Don't let another moment pass you by. I won't ask anybody to come forward, stand up, or say anything on your own. I'm not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're online, obviously we can't see you. But if you're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, you've never received Jesus, and you want to know that you know that you know that you're saved, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand in the air real quick? Anybody at all that's never received Jesus before? Anybody at all in this building? Father, I don't see any hands. So I'm trusting that everyone here is saved, is your child, is heaven bound. But if by chance somebody here or watching online that obviously I couldn't see their hands, they've never received you, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And again, for those people, it's not hard. In fact, to believe and to receive would sound something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're real. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you to come into my life. I want to make you Lord and Savior of my life. If you'll pray that prayer, he'll do his part and save you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, and then let us know. Email me. Give me a phone call. But let's just worship the Lord before we close tonight. Lord, we bless you and praise you and glorify you and magnify you. And we honor your holy name. Jeff, can you grab me a disposable mask? I want to ask people if they want to get hands laid on them to come on up for healing. And I want tonight in this contact here to be your point of faith. From this point forward, you believe and receive and speak it. So from this point forward, you're going to speak and speak and speak. If anybody wants to receive that right now, and I'll wear a mask for other people's sake if that would make people more comfortable. But if anybody wants to receive tonight, point of contact of believing this place, come on up and receive healing. We'll lay hands on you. And anybody at all want to receive healing in their body? If you say, you know what, I'm already on board, I don't need hands laid on me, then go forward. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Jen, come on up. Would you like me to wear it? Bill. What, okay. Okay. Do we have a cloth we could put on them? Or?
Let me look.
Right there, Jeff. Down there. There's some. Right there, some white ones. Thank you. You know, the Bible says in the book of Acts that Paul laid hands on handkerchiefs and the power of God. We see Jesus' power flowed from his Jesus's robe, and so we just pray over this cloth and we thank you, Father, for the anointing. I don't have healing power, Father, but you do. So we pray over this cloth, and Father, we speak healing into this, that when it's laid on Bill's knee, Father, it'll cause healing, it'll drive out sickness, it'll drive out disease, it'll drive out pain. We thank you, Father, for his knee being healed, for the testimony that will come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. He's good, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, we're going to take up our offering, and then we'll dismiss you. Go with me real quick to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. We won't take up a whole lot of time, but this is, of course, tithes and offerings. Malachi 3 and verse 8. And I'm not, I feel the need to say this to help people, even people that are watching online. The reasons that I'm still doing what we're doing with the social distancing and the mask is because I feel strongly led to do that. Not because I like it, not because I want to do it, not because it would be my choice. But you know, what we had happened 2 weeks ago where somebody had gotten it, you know, in coronavirus in South Dayton, and the health department wasn't even going to let me know. The health department wasn't even going to reach out to me. They said, you don't need to know because of the measures you've been taking at your church. And so I just want us to be able to stay open. I just want us to be able to stay safe, you know, and so we're going to keep doing that until the Holy Ghost says we can do something different. thankfully for the Holy Ghost, because I probably would have done something different already by now. And so please understand that's why we're doing these things. We just want to be led and follow Him. So thank you for being patient. You know, we had some people 2 weeks ago that came to South Dayton, and Jeff had politely asked them to put a mask on. They were visitors, and they got real snotty with him and left. I thought, my goodness, they missed their visitation just because they couldn't wear a mask to their seat, and they missed out on their visitation. I thought, but this is what the Holy Ghost said to me after. You wouldn't want them in your church anyways, because eventually if that was going to bother them, what else was going to bother them? If just that thing, you couldn't comply with that, it's probably not going to comply. But so thank you for being patient, and please know it's not my personality or what I like doing here, but anyways, and maybe you may be excited about the mass and agree with him, whatever it is, but we're just following God. Malachi 3:8, look what the Bible says here. It says, and as we dismiss, you can go ahead and put your tithes and offerings in the buckets back there. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. The Bible says that we actually are robbing him when we withhold our tithes and offerings. Now, when you know what tithes and offerings are, it's always twofold, isn't it? Number one, we know what tithes and offerings, what does it do? Blesses the kingdom, right? It takes care of God's house. The tithe takes care of God's house. Offerings take care of God's house. Ministers, the kingdom of God, we know that. But the second part of why God likes us to tithe is it goes on to say in verse 10 what? He'll open the windows of heaven for you. So when we rob God, a lot of people take it from the standpoint of you're just robbing the church, and people get an attitude about that. You're also robbing your heavenly Father from being able to bless you. Why? He has to follow His word. I love blessing my children. But if I tell my kids, this needs to be done, or this needs to be changed, and then we'll go here, we're going to go do this, but this has to happen first. And then they don't do what they're told to do. I can't violate my word and just blow through it. A lot of people do that. But I cannot blow through my word, because then my word means nothing. I have to hold the standards. And when they do X, they get Y. If they don't do X, they don't get Y. And they don't get Y, it breaks my heart, because I like seeing my children blessed. And it robs from me. It robs from me. And so when the Heavenly Father's saying it's robbing, it's not just because the kingdom's being robbed from being advanced and being blessed. It's because God then, He can't open the windows of heaven for the person that does not tithe. Amen? So give God the opportunity to bless you. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give tonight. As we give, we declare that Family Church Allegheny is fully funded, fully supplied, all the money, all the properties, all the buildings and equipment and people that we need to do what you've called us to do, it comes. We call this building paid off supernaturally. We call increase into this place, not only for the church, but for each individual believer as they begin to do your word and to walk in your ways and your precepts. I thank you they walk into increase, walk into more for the purpose of being a greater blessing on this earth. We give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I'll see you next Saturday. Jeff will dismiss you from the back. Going out, yeah, you're dismissed. Praise God. Hi, guys. How did you...